This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing. There are plays which get staged again and again here in KL. Shakespeare's tragedies like Hamlet and Macbeth, and his comedies like Midsummer Night's Dream and The Merchant of Venice. But in the context of plays written in the 20th century and after, we have seen Philadelphia Here I Come, which I have watched at least three times. English playwright Harold Pinter's Betrayal, written in 1978, is another work often staged in KL. Later this week on Saturday at the Damansara Performing Arts Centre, All Nighter Productions present this show. And here in the studio are the producer and director, Bahiro Amma and Ashraf Zahiri. Yeah. And Veena Law is here with them also. She's one of the three actors in this production. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Who are the All Nighter Productions?
Oh, okay. The All Nighter Productions began with a bunch of friends who wants to start a new production house. And what's unique about this is that it's not just theatre, but it's also filmmaking.
In fact, when I went to your website, the first thing I saw was something to do with a microfilm that you guys produced.
Yeah.
So what's the connection between this microfilm and your theatre production? That was your first project?
Mm-hmm.
Is Betrayal your first stage project, or you have done this?
We have done theatre in university before. And then my friend Magat Daniel, and we start collaborating and working on shorts. And we create two shorts, and we got selected for Astro Shaw and got shortlisted. And we get for training with 10 different directors from across Southeast Asia. And then when I learned more and more in directing, in filmmaking, I realized that I am more theatre director rather than filmmaking director.
What did you study at the university?
Surprise, surprise, I'm not studying performing arts. I studied civil and structural engineering.
Okay. you're building the stage.
What I would like is that to combine both engineering and performing arts together. And that is...
I'm not sure how, but yeah, tell me.
Yes. It begins with Betrayal, which the audience will see that a lot of the influences is not just text from Harold Pinter, not just the arts that we're combining from our collaborative team, creative team, but also the props, the sets, and how the structure it will come to life is that engineering also play a big role in telling the story.
We'll talk more about Betrayal itself later, although I must admit that the last time I saw Betrayal, it was a very simple set, one coffee table and three chairs.
Right.
And that's all it is. We know, Ashraf, you graduated with a degree in engineering. What about you, Bahiro?
As for me, I attended the International Islamic University, Malaysia, took my degree in teaching English as a second language.
Usually, folks who are in the arts or studying English, I can see the connection between them and the performing arts
right.
a lot closer
right.
as opposed to engineering. But we do see people who have studied accounting going into the performing arts also. Veena, where are you from in terms of what have you studied that has led you into the performing arts? Because I've seen you in other productions, and one of the last ones was
Rewired,
yeah.
Yeah. I actually have not done theatre in Malaysia. I started theatre when I was in Korea. I got my degree in theatre and cinema. I was there for 5 years, and that's how I got into theatre. I started in Korea, and then I came back last year and started to dabble into the local art scene.
You know, you were here for Rewired's interview.
Yes, I am.
When you said Korea, I said, she was here. So I should know.
I was here.
You know, I see so many of these faces again and again. Right. Sometimes like they kind of blur into one. Okay, back to the folks who are responsible for All-Nighter Productions. You've done some films. You're starting to go into the stage. What is the mission of this organization?
So All-Nighter Production House is a platform for everyone who is passionate to be in the performing arts. It doesn't necessarily you need to have any performing arts degree. And as long as you have the interest and the passion to do so, we are welcome to anyone who have a story to tell.
Are you focused on doing plays and stories, or are you going to be involved in dance?
Any form of performing arts. We have done dance in Kelpak. We have done also lots of shorts and in filmmaking. And here we are, the first time is our full production in DPAC.
What made you guys choose to do Betrayal as your first theater production? One, it's not, I think it's not an easy play.
No. Why don't you give a start?
Okay. So,
was it your idea?
It was both of ours, actually. It was both of ours, because he just finished directing, I think, a play from the KLPAX Intermediate Directors Lab.
Yeah.
Yep. And I felt that because he had this interest in wanting to craft his skills in directing, and because as an engineer, you probably didn't read a lot of plays, so he asked me for, like, do you have, like, a library of plays that I can refer to? So I took him to Kinokuniya, and we came across Betrayal. One thing is because, if you know Harold Pinter, he's not a very wordy person. His lines are very concise, it's brief, it goes straight to the point, and that's perfect for people like you.
Yeah.
But as we dwelled into the play, we began to realize some of the messages that each of these three characters are actually conveying in different ways and with their own different objectives. So we felt that, you know, we have similar people in our lives who are represented by these characters, and felt that it was so relevant to today that we said, why not? Why don't we just try it out?
As the dramaturg, though, I assume you also looked at the history of the play being done here in KL. So from that perspective, what new ideas are you going to bring to bear in this production?
Okay. Honestly, I didn't realize that Betrayal was done before in Malaysia. It only just came across as we were applying for the license. But we knew we had to make it a little bit different, because we felt that, you know, why would people want to come and watch a 1978 play? What more, an English play? So after reading and looking through the history and figuring out why did Harold Pinter even write it, only then did I realize there was two male characters and one female, a woman, right? And just
sometimes they throw in a waiter.
Yeah, yeah, the waiter. But it was, again, it didn't say waitress, waiter, and it had to be a male.
Yeah.
We had that discussion. Anywho. Yeah. So from there, we realized the way Harold Pinter has actually structured Emma, the woman, her lines, it really hit back on me in terms of the number of women in my lives who have been silenced by men in terms of wanting to voice out a particular opinion or even to fight against injustice, you know? And I felt that, wow, it resonates so much. Why don't we focus on actually trying to portray, like, females today in a patriarchal society? Yeah.
Of course, I completely agree with that. It is a play written by Harold Pinter, so it's in perspective what men's view in an affair, right? But it's a bit unfair to just see in his perspective. And we took the challenge to actually change. Why don't we change the I from Jerry or Robert to Emma, which is the female character, and to see how she is going through this whole affair from, which is the beginning is at the end of the affair, and the end is the beginning.
I am aware of the play. I have not read it the way you have read it in terms of getting ready for production, but I wasn't quite aware that the play was written from a male perspective, in the sense that we are seeing the story as told by either Robert or by Jerry. I always thought, if anything, because Emma comes into the scene to make this declaration, mm-hmm. that it's written from her perspective. I want to pick that up, yeah?
Okay.
I'm speaking with Bahiro Ahmad, producer and dramaturg, Ashraf Zahiri, director, and Vina Law, actor, and they are all, in one way or another, responsible for all-nighters productions of Betrayal, which will play only one day, this Saturday, at the Damansara Performing Arts Center. Coming up, this play is done with a feminist reading. So we will talk about this feminist reading. This is Front Row on A Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're tuned to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Hing, speaking with Bahiru Ahmad, Ashraf Zahiri, and Veena Law about the upcoming production of Harold Pinter's Betrayal, and it will be done over at DPAC. Just before the break, we were talking about how this play that you'll be doing will be looking at this whole issue from Emma's perspective. Is the play written from either Jerry's perspective or Robert's perspective that you have to somehow highlight Emma's perspective?
Okay, while going through the script and doing a couple of initial reads, we realized that we naturally went from Jerry's perspective, only being because he was in that many scenes. I mean, there was 9 scenes total. He's 8 out of 9. It goes to show that we kind of actually see the world from Jerry's eyes. However, there was probably like one scene that he wasn't in it where it was, well, you will see. But based on when we had an open stage on 3rd of April, we did our script reading, which is scene one, which is in a conversation between Emma and Jerry. Immediately, the audience actually lashed out against Emma, saying they all saw it from Jerry's eyes. So that kind of already proved to the point that maybe perhaps, yes, when we see it from an outsider, that we feel that maybe all three characters are as equally as important. But immediately from the first scene, we already assumed the position of Jerry. So while we kept reading it for, I think, another couple of months, only then did we realize, yes, Emma was the one that broke the news. Yes, she was the one that kind of
called for the meeting,
the whole thing, as people would say. But why? And that's where all-nighters, what we do is we actually investigate, what exactly is she trying to say? Is there some kind of hidden message that has not been heard but can be seen or felt?
Now, Veena, as the actor playing Emma, while you were reading, whose perspective were you seeing the play as the actor to start?
Truthfully, when I first read the play, I had the same reaction. I was like, what is wrong with this woman? Like, I felt like it was Emma's fault. She was the one who made the decisions. She was the one who decided to have this affair with Jerry. She was the one who decided to break it off with Robert and Jerry and then Robert. So I was actually very judgmental in the beginning.
If she were the one making the decision to have an affair, if she were the one making the decision to end the relationship, then in a way we are seeing her as a very empowered woman.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, in the beginning, I was being judgmental. And then the more I read into it throughout the rehearsal process as well, I feel like it really seems like, yes, it's her decision, but she was pushed to do those things by not pushed.
You're having it both ways, you know. You're having your cake and you want to eat it too.
Right, I guess. Yeah, something like that. But it's also like, if you read the play, if you look through the words of Jerry and Robert, you realize that actually both of them objectifies Emma. Both of them, whenever they mention Emma, it's always about how she looks like physically and everything physical. It's never about her intellect or her personality or traits. It's never about that. If you look at the 9th scene when Jerry professes her love to Emma, everything is about, oh, how beautiful you are, your eyes kill me, you know? And I feel like Emma, as a person, she's an educated, she is a strong woman per se, but she has, I think, in a way, like many women today, she had to submit herself to what society expects a woman to be. You know, I'm married now. I can't do this anymore. And I have to like submit to my husband. And even with Jerry, even though in the beginning I did see that being with Jerry, she was more free. But after a while, I was like, oh no, wait. She had to also reach some sort of expectation with Jerry. You know, Jerry expected her to be that beautiful, attractive woman. You know, so she was never herself with these two men.
Is the play written from a feminist point of view? Meaning not necessarily that, since you all said that the play is written from Jerry's point of view, but is the play in itself underscoring the role of women, and therefore there is a possible feminist reading to this play?
After doing extensive research on Harold Pinter, like him as a person, there was actually a couple of authors that claimed that, yes, Harold Pinter, in a way, was a feminist, where he did, in many of his plays, I think even The Homecoming as well, he has values of feminism, but it's, again, based on just how he writes, it's very subtle. It's not easily picked up unless you really kind of have a certain discussion or you have a really keen ear to really pick it up, to notice it. So I mean, again, when she said the initial reaction was, what's wrong with this woman? Initial reaction from many of the public, what's wrong with this woman? And it's done in a way where it's not like an inspiration, like, oh, she broke off with him. That's an empowerment. No, we usually get the opposite of, this is such a great guy. Why would you leave him for someone else, you know? So that's where we're actually highlighting. It's not so much of a resolution of what she should do. It's more of what brought it up to the decision that she made at that time.
If you're going with a feminist reading of this play, what then is the baseline? My assumption then, if you're doing a feminist reading, there must be a non-feminist reading. What is the non-feminist reading of this play?
From non-feminist reading, I'm first curious of what she really wants. What does she really want from the very beginning? Why it end up this way? What made her unhappy? And what is her goal? And through reading this play and investigating deeper and deeper into the play, you begin to empathize here. You begin to follow her decision where she's going to. And you begin to see that she is trapped. You begin to see that she is trying to get out of the world of men that is around her. And all this expectation from the society that she is living in begin to discomfort her. So she's trying every way that she possibly can to find herself, find her own voice. And slowly she realized it's not from these two men.
Can I add on to that? A non-feminist approach to this is, I feel, in general, the whole play, there's the expectations of society on towards Emma as a woman. But Robert and Jerry are also both in that way oppressed as well. Because there's a lot of lack of communication in between Emma, Jerry, Emma, Robert, even Robert, Jerry. You know, nothing is straightforward. They always feel like they have to speak a certain way. They're never straightforward, direct with each other. So I think in that way, I feel like this play itself, instead of a feminist approach, I would say that it actually questions the role of men, the roles of men and women as well in the society. Like, why does Robert and Jerry have to act like that? Why do they have to do that, you know? And yeah, vice versa.
I couldn't agree more with you, Vina, on that, except that when I got the whatever notes from your side explaining the play, the very first line said that this is going to be a feminist approach to betrayal.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then should we be thinking of past productions, or that the play by default as produced and staged by other people, they overlook the impulses of feminism in the play, and basically they're looking at characters? Because the other thing too is that if we say that this is a feminist play and then to pursue down that path, some would accuse you of being reductionist. And then how would you respond to that?
So I think also in the notes that were also given, it's like I try to make it in a way where it's a difficult way to define where we're going with feminism. Yeah. We are talking about equal rights. We're talking about equal representation. We're also talking about equal opportunities. Yet we look at Emma Watson, for instance, when she was on, it was at Vogue magazine, and someone shouted, you say you're a feminist, yet you're on this magazine that reduces women, you know, like, where do we go from there, you know? So and then that woke me up, because I felt like, wow, we actually, even women are fighting amongst each other saying, I'm a feminist, you're not. No, I'm a feminist, you're not. Where are we going? So in this play, it's not really to define what is a feminist per se. It's more like, I kind of actually quote from Carol Churchill, one of the female playwrights, where she said, when you do theater, when you represent women, well, in a feminist eyes, you're just simply portraying the life of a woman. Simple as that. Whether you take it, whether she's actually being oppressed or she's being empowered, that itself is feminism in a way where you feel that the choices that she makes, is it because that she's a woman that she decides to stay at home? Is it because she's a woman or she decides to be a career woman? Wow, is she an empowered woman? Why are we judging women's choices because they're a woman? And that's where this play actually highlights the fact that, is it because she's a woman that she made these correct choices?
If I'm hearing you correctly, at the end of the day, your production doesn't tell us whether she chose rightly or she chose wrongly, but that she chose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
'Cause to choose also presupposes the ability to see the options, the ability to, or the capacity of options, not just your mental capacity to see them, but that you are able to take those choices. Because sometimes people are not given choices because they are within certain strictures, or that sometimes they don't see those options simply because there is a worldview that they have adopted. So I'm not sure from your perspective, where does Emma fall into?
There are so many different branches of where we can approach with feminism. You actually kind of like, highlight key issues as to why we have females voicing out, because due to, well, is it because biologically speaking, are we really that much inferior, blah, 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 right? I guess in this play, it's the only feminist thing I can think of when I wanted to look at from a woman's eye is just to start from the bottom, which is like, we need to give women just a voice to represent themselves as well. Like, what do they want? That's basically the highlight of it. I can't really go so much in deep because it's not my play. It's Harold Pinter's. I cannot adapt it so much where it totally, you know, goes off tangent to what Harold Pinter really wants to say. It's just I want women to also wake up that, hey, before anyone else can speak for you, you got to speak for yourself as well. And if you feel that your choices that you make is undermined because you're a woman, then you got to go and seek other options of how to make it better, you know?
Just to add on this, is that it's what this play as well, what we hoped to get out from here as well, that at the end of the show, we want the audience to start talking about their personal relationship, to open up how do they feel being in this situation. You know, it doesn't necessarily, you don't have to experience this personally, but going through seeing the show and seeing how Emma is going through, it gives them opportunity to actually discuss with their partners or with their other relationship that close by to talk about what they have in their issues.
I'm sure you know who Roger Ebert is, the movie reviewer. When the film first came out, not the play, the film version in 1983, he wrote about this. He says, I'm going to quote him now. He says, "The betrayal structure strips away all artifice. It shows heartlessly that the very capacity for love itself is sometimes based on betraying not only other loved ones, but even ourselves." So for me, it is more about the characters than about any overarching issue about sexism. One thing you also mentioned that you adapted this play. How is it being adapted? Beyond the, I assume the characters still have the same names?
Oh, yeah. Number one, we adapt it to current time, and then we're going back in time after that, from 2017. And we adapted it to Malaysia instead of in London or in UK. Jerry, Emma, and Robert is living in Kuala Lumpur.
And who are they? I'm asking this question based on this assumption. In Malaysia, we have different ethnic groups. When we talk about Harold Pinter's play, they're all white people. Now you have ethnicity as another issue. How are you dealing with that?
It's actually very interesting that you brought that up, because before we actually thought about thinking about highlighting some values of feminism, we actually want to highlight ethnicities in terms of, are ethnic relations any different just because of feelings they have? Because when adapting it, I actually want to highlight ethnical issues actually within Malaysia. The distrust, because due to different cultural beliefs that you really can't really have, does love exist? But I don't know. I thought it was just way too complicated to go into that. Because Harold Pinter, in a way, you're right. Because it was the same race, you don't have to talk about different racial issues. You just have to focus on just what you said. Betrayal amongst each other as well as within ourselves. So,
Aware of the cast that you have. One is Praveen Akira, and then Sean Leung, and then, of course, Veena. The dominant race is not present, because it would bring a different layer of complexity and different kinds of issues because of not just the race now, then the religion and the
yes.
whole culture.
Yes,
because we don't want to go that direction.
We would have, but...
We have thought about it, but then the text is not support enough in terms,
I don't think you need to say any more except to have three different races
right.
on the stage, or even all of the same race right. now suddenly dealing with a slightly different issue.
Right.
And I think if you have all Malay actors, mm-hmm. folks will see the play slightly differently.
True.
And same with you have all Chinese. All now in this context, you have husband and wife.
It's a Chindian couple.
Yes, Praveen is Robert. Oh, that's correct. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds interesting. You're only performing on one day.
Two shows in one day.
I know, I've gotten that question as to why did you do it for one day, but as rising performing artists and, you know, repertory companies, you don't have much money. But because we're doing a full-blown play, and, you know, we felt that we just want to give it a shot while our interests are that high. So, yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Vina Law, Bahiro Ahmad, Ashraf Zahiri, and they are all responsible and participating in Betrayal, which is a production by All Nighter Productions. The play is on this Saturday at 3 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. And the venue is the Black Box at the Damansara Performing Arts Center. And tickets are priced at 35, and for D-card holders, 31 ringgit. This is Front Row and the Bigger Picture. Now Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.